Hey, turning your Bibles to Psalm chapter 40. We're talking about last Sunday, Pastor Ian kicked off a series that we're doing this summer through the Psalms. And he did a good job of introducing Psalms, but Psalms are essentially songs, right, that were sung, and they're songs of praise and words of encouragement, but also words of warning, right? The Psalms give me a lot of encouragement as a human being, because in one psalm, you can read, you know, David writing, "Oh God, how wonderful are your ways, how wonderful are your works, you're amazing." And then the next psalm, the very next psalm, the very next chapter, "God, where are you?" Right? "You have left me, you're nowhere to be found. What are you doing? Why are you tormenting me?" So, and sometimes it feels, you know, because you're driving along and you're in New Hampshire, you're in Maine, and things are great, and then you hit Massachusetts. "God, you have left!" Right? And as you're going south on vacation, right? And so you just get the sense that David, right, was normal. As he wrote most of the Psalms, you get the sense that, wow, okay, this is encouraging. Because sometimes God does feel closer than a brother. He feels like he is right there. And we've got to deal with the deity here of God, right? That he is not the one that moves. Okay? But sometimes he feels closer than a brother. And then other times he feels as distant as anyone. And that's the Psalms. Words of encouragement, words of praise, beautiful songs of praise and also warning. And one critical point that we continue to see throughout the Psalms that you'll see this Sunday, that you probably saw last Sunday, hopefully. If not, maybe after today you'll go back and listen and see it. And then hopefully you'll see in the future Psalms as we talk about this, is that God is David's ultimate. Everybody say ultimate. Not fighter. Okay? But that God is David's ultimate supplier. That God is David's ultimate provider. That is the theme of Psalms, all 150 of them. That God is David's ultimate supplier. And so this is a lifelong lesson for us, isn't it? To continue to surrender to God daily because he is our ultimate supplier. It may not seem like it, but the kitchen will one day run out of coffee. Right? All the kitchen team is like, "Not on my watch." Not on my watch. But God never runs out. He is the ultimate provider and supplier, even when, and here's the tension, right? And we're going to deal with this some today, even when it doesn't feel like it. So hopefully you found your way to Psalm chapter 40. Before we read, I know it's already been mentioned a couple of times. I think Dylan said this already, but I just want to reiterate it. We've had a lot happening this week around this building. I would say there's some scuffs on the walls now. It's broken in. Right? The building is broken in, and super proud of that. But for all the volunteers, I tell you what, if you volunteered in VBS or if you volunteered yesterday in Project 1413, can you just wave a hand? Wave it in the air like you just don't care. Yeah, thank you guys. Things don't happen without your help and all of that. We're so thankful to you. So let's read Psalm chapter 40. David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." Now let's pause there for just a moment. Okay? What is David doing here in these first three verses? You can speak. Okay, what's he telling? A testimony, I heard it. Who said that? You get an extra muffin after the service. Okay. David is testifying here about what God had done. Okay, he's testifying here about what God had done. And then for the next about 14 verses or so, all the way up until verse 16, he is going to talk about the result of what God had done. He's going to talk about the result of his testimony. And then he's going to shift it in verse 16 to talk about other people and what they could experience because of what God had done in his life and the testimony that God's telling. So we've talked about this before. We talked about it two weeks ago, okay? And I know all of you remember because you've been studying your notes since then just to really saturate and marinate in what God told you that day. I believe that. I trust that. You're great students. Two of you are laughing. Come on. I know it's raining again outside. We had one good day of summer. Okay, but we got, come on, hang with me. Hang with me this morning. Okay, he's testifying about what God had done in his life. And then he gets to celebrate. And then his prayer is that others would experience him in the same way. Two Sundays ago, we talked about how our testimony is the greatest tool that we have to tell of the goodness of God. Okay? Because I hear many stories being told before service in the lobby. People getting excited, right? Families that just got back from Disney World and they're telling about their favorite moments and just rubbing it all in the faces of those that didn't just get back home from Disney World in the lobby. And they're continuously posting pictures on the Facebook and all of that. Just eat that, right? Right? But we love telling stories about great things that are happening in our lives. We also love telling stories about restaurants you should never eat at again, because I don't know if you've had that plate there, but if you go there, don't get it because it's nasty. Right? We tell stories. Right? That is the epitome of community, of relationship, is to tell our stories, to get to know people, to interact with people. Because your stories have a lot to say about why you are the way you are. Right? And so we tell stories. We passionately tell stories. And what David here is doing in these first three verses is he is telling a story about how God has impacted his life. And I want you to notice three things here. Number one, he waited. How many of you are good at waiting? Don't elbow the person next to you. Okay? Some of us need to get better at waiting. Amen? Okay. Some of us need to get better at waiting. Listen, it is okay. It is okay. I want you to see how modern technology, and I'm not against it, some of it's great and in a pinch, it's amazing. But I believe that modern technology has impacted my community experience at Starbucks. Because now, or Dunkin', all coffee places matter. Okay, and now they've just started it at Aroma Joe's, at least the one in Gorham. And I'm really hurt. I might write a letter. But this order ahead stuff, right? Now, here's the thing. If you're ordering ahead in a pinch and you need to pull through and get it, great. But if you're sitting in the parking lot and you're ordering ahead so that you don't have to go in and interact with the person on the other side of the cash register, you're robbing yourself of community. Right? You're robbing yourself of community. And you're like, well, I haven't had my coffee yet, so I can't people. Don't be that Walmart t-shirt. Don't do that. You can do hard things, and you can overcome, and you can say a good morning. Right? And receive that in the same way. You can. You can. Right? And then, if your coffee's wrong, you have someone to blame. Because they didn't hear you right. Whereas if you order on the app, you only have yourself to blame. You see where I'm going with this? We have issue, and listen. Technology's fine. I'm exaggerating the whole coffee thing, right, to prove a point. Okay? Technology's fine. But what we are not good at as a people anymore is waiting. Right? Waiting. Because how much time does that really save you? Right? But we are trained, and we're training ourselves to want what we want and want it now. Okay? Some of you in here aren't going to know this. All right? But how many of you remember dial-up internet? All right? And you used to have the noises memorized. Right? Back when AOL was all there was. And now if you only have an AOL email account, everybody picks on you, Dan Garish. Right? We used to sit there and wait and enjoy. Well, enjoy might be a stretch. The sounds that would come out of your compact Presario of 1300. Any computer folks in here that are just like, oh, vintage, yes! Right? And now, if we have to wait 5 seconds for a web page to load, we chuck our phone across the room. What is wrong with this thing? Right? You get the point. But I want you to notice, David experienced God because he waited. He experienced God because he waited. He had an experience with God because he waited. Second word, patiently. Now this is where David loses me. Because not only is he saying that he waited, but he waited patiently. Because all the things we just said, there's two responses, there's two reactions that you can have in your waiting. Patient and impatient. And we both know people that are both, right? Patient and impatient. I am not patient. This is my confession to you. You're not supposed to use the pulpit as a therapy session, but I just feel like I should let you know. Hi, my name is Travis. I'm a human being. I'm impatient. Okay? I want what I want, and I want it now. I was at a wedding yesterday, and my family, you know, we this was like the first time I didn't have any role in the wedding. It was beautiful. All six of us got to go and just enjoy all of the things. And you know what I was really looking forward to? Eating. I was pumped. There was a food truck out there. Our table was positioned as close to the food truck as any other table under the tent. You know who got to go last? It's because I'm preaching this sermon. God's like, oh, we're just going to test you the night before you preach this. You're going to sit there, you're going to watch everybody else go up to the line and get their dinner, and you're going to go last. Thanks a lot, God, right? But David said, I waited patiently. I waited patiently. So, right, how are you at waiting? How are you at being patient? Then the last one is the critical piece, because we are in church, but it's also the critical piece in our lives if we'll place it and apply it into our lives. I waited patiently for what? The Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. And so before we continue on, before we look at the blessing, before we look at the testimony of God, we've got to deal with how did David get here? How did David get to this place? He waited patiently for the Lord. When is the last time in your life you've gone through anything, a joy, a valley, and you've said, I just got to wait on the Lord. I've just got to wait on, because oftentimes we don't consider that. We sit and we say, no, I'm waiting on so-and-so. I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting on this promotion. I'm waiting on this to fall in place before I can continue on. And until then, I might as well be numb to all other realities because I'm waiting on this to fall into place. never considering the Lord God Almighty. And so David goes on and on, and we're going to look at it. But there's three huge things here that we've got to notice at the beginning. Waiting patiently on God for Him to move in our lives. So then, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me. He heard my cry, and He responded. He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog. He set my feet upon the rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. He changed my situation. He changed my circumstance. He changed my attitude towards my circumstance. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Now, let's see what he learned. Verse 4. Y'all still with me? Okay, good. Three of you. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who waits patiently for the Lord. You see that? Here it is again. Blessed is the one who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds, your thoughts toward us. None can compare to you. I will proclaim and tell of them. In sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Again, David's just reminding himself. He's reminding God, just like we did when we were singing and Dylan challenged us. Hey, sing this. Preach the gospel to yourself, which is the good news of Jesus. Sing this over your soul today. How good was that? And David's doing the same thing here in this psalm. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Because sometimes we need a reminder that to do God's will is a delight. Because sometimes God calls us to do some hard things that we don't want to do. But he's reminding himself that he delights to do the will of God, even if it doesn't make sense. Verse 9, I've told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips. As you know, O Lord, I've not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I've not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the congregation, from the great congregation. He was talking about Summit. Verse 11. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me, for evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. How many of you know God will fight your battles for you? Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Now, let's pause there. Because as David, again, recounts what God has done in his life, there's some things I want to point out to you, right? See, we see point one here, the testimony, David's testimony of God, right? He waits knowing that God has heard him. That's why he praises the Lord. Because he knows that God's heard him. He trusts the promises of God. Because how many of you know, especially David knew this, I've been reminded of this a lot recently, God does not work on our timetable. It would be a lot better if he did, amen? I mean, we're telling him, God, I mean, I've got all this worked out. All you have to do is, right? But he doesn't work like that. Why? Because we don't learn what he needs us to learn if we get what we want on our timetable all the time. David understood that. David understood that God's ways were higher than his ways and better than his ways and his thoughts are better than his thoughts and all of that. God does not work on our timetable. Waiting on him, trusting him patiently is a must for us. We're in no position as people in 2023 to demand things from God. And so God takes David, he's responsible for saving David, he's responsible for saving us, and he takes David from a place of destruction and filth, and God has given him a firm foundation to stand on. He's changed David. He's given him a new song, a hymn that sings praise instead of complaints. And he's blessed David. And verse 5, don't miss David's praise. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. And so David makes a promise to God. And he says in verse 6, and sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you've given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. David says, I will listen to what God says. I will listen to what God says. I will listen. I will consider. I will wait patiently for the Lord, and I will listen to what he says. And then number 2, he says in verses 7 and 8, then I said, behold, I've come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. He says, I will consider God's word. I will consider the Bible. I will consider this love letter of instruction from God. And he remembers his promise to God to be faithful. And so the application here is David saying, as a result of the testimony of his heart, God moving yet again, God, I desire to do your will. I desire to do your will. I desire to do your will. So what does David ask of the Lord? 4 things here in the second part of this psalm. What does David ask of the Lord? Verses 11 and 12, first of all, as for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. He says, I need your protection. I need your protection. I need your protection. David is crying out and saying, okay, God, as a result of you continuously moving in my life, I need your protection. And see, some of us, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. We've already talked about it. God will fight our battles for us. I once had a situation. This was probably about 11 years ago. And I'm not trying to be funny here, but you might have been in this position before, where you're kind of on trial, you're kind of under fire, and you know you're right. But the people will not listen to your responses. Ever happened to you? Right? And I kept trying, and the worst part about the situation is nobody was willing to meet face to face, so this was all happening keyboard warrior style, right? Where people were just sending emails after emails after emails, and no one was giving me an opportunity. And so I kept trying to respond to every email and explain my point of view and help people see, as usual, I was right here. Sorry, I had to be funny. I was getting a little too intense. And I had a mentor look at me one time and he said, Travis, listen, you've got to stop throwing grenades over the wall. I was like, what do you mean? He said, every time you send an email back, you're just throwing another grenade over the wall that is exploding right back in your face. And he said, trust the Lord and stop throwing grenades. Because eventually, right? Eventually, the Cowboys shift and start talking about next season. Right? They're all excited. We're listening to them now talk about this coming season. They're going to be great. They're going to win a Super Bowl. Blah, 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 blah. And then about mid-October, if we'll stop egging them on and throwing grenades, they'll shift and talk about 2025 and how they're going to win the Super Bowl then. Casey, you did that to yourself because you wore your Cowboys hat. I was going to go Giants, but you wore your Cowboys hat in church. Eventually, if we'll stop throwing grenades, people will move on. And every time we throw a grenade, who are we? What are we doing? We're trying to fight the battle for ourselves that God promises to fight. And so David knew that. And so he's calling on the Lord here for protection. He's reminding himself, and he's calling on the Lord for protection. Number two, he's crying out. He's saying, please, Lord, save me. Look at verse 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. David urgently calls out to the Lord, come quickly. I'm overcome in my iniquity. I'm overcome in my struggles. I'm overcome in my brokenness, and I need rescuing. See, we've got to recognize, we've got to come to grips with, family, that we are broken and in need of God to save us. We've got to remember that. And when he saves us, that doesn't mean poof, right? We're whole. We're perfect. We are a constant, never-ending project, right? Look at your neighbor and say, you're in process. And I wish you were further along. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Right? But we're all in process. And the quicker that we remember and can come to the feet of Jesus and say, God, I am broken and you're the only one that can put me back together. My spouse can't do it. They're not God. You're the only one, Lord, that can put me back together in my brokenness. Number three, he says in verses 14 through 16, let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Here it is again. He's going to fight those battles. But he says here, Lord, defend me. Who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. And what David's crying out here is he's saying, defend me from those who want to take life from him, want to steal joy from him. Only the Lord can defend us. Right? And then we look at the rest of the psalm. Verse 16, he says, But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I'm poor and needy. Again, brokenness. But the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. You do not delay, O my God. And so he says, lastly, Lord, remember me in my brokenness. I am poor and needy. I have nothing to offer or bring to negotiation. He is helpless against his enemies. Lord, please think of me. What a great prayer for us all. To say, you're my provider. You rescue me. You deliver me. You are my God. Don't withhold your love, your grace, your mercy from me. So what specifically can we learn from this psalm? I'm glad you asked. What specifically can we learn from this psalm? See, David remembers what God has done in the past and asks more of him. David testifies of the Lord's goodness in his life and says, I want more. And can I tell you something? That is not selfish. That is not arrogant. That is not prideful. That is the definition of recognizing ourselves in light of who God is. That God, you are great and I am needy. God, you are provider and I'm nothing. God, you are supplier, you are defender. I don't have to fight my battles. And so what situation are you walking through in your life? What circumstance are you walking through in your life? What relationship are you dealing with in your life where you need to stop? Wait patiently for the Lord to give wisdom over your next step. Stop. Wait patiently for the Lord, for He is your strength. He is your deliverer. David remembers what God has done in the past and asks more of Him. See, you and I can do the same thing every day. My question first is this. Are you aware of the things that God is blessing you with every day? We had an elder meeting Sunday night. Thank you, Ian. I'm glad you can keep this week straight. We had an elder meeting Sunday night, and I went around and asked all the elders, all our pastors, who how they were doing, because it'd been a while since we'd been in front of each other like that. And so they all went around and we all said how we were doing, and got to the end of that, and I looked at Zan and said, okay, Zan, you sounded most spiritual through that, so you can pray. Serious. Right? That's what I did. Okay, good. And so Zan started praying, and he got towards the end of his prayer, and he said, now God, speak to us as we just sit for a moment at your feet and remember your goodness to us. And so I thought he was going to stop for like 10 seconds and let us. But it went on and on and on. And have you ever been in that awkward prayer meeting where nobody's praying and you're like, is somebody, are we doing something wrong here? Am I supposed to close this? Did he miss an instruction that he was the only one that was going to pray because he was the most spiritual out of all of us in this moment? But I decided to not be the fixer. Because I'll be honest with you, in that moment, I just needed to sit and remember the goodness of God. And it went on maybe 3 or 4 minutes, felt like 45. Some of you are feeling that right now. As I was driving home Sunday night, I thought to myself, when is the last time that I just stopped and looked to the Lord and sat at His feet and considered His goodness and didn't feel like I had to fill the silence? Didn't feel like I had to be the one to pray. Didn't feel like I had to. And I told Zan at the end of the night, I said, Zan, that was a gift to me. To just stop and sit and wait and try to be patient for the Lord. For He is good. And if there's anything I can challenge you with today from this song, it's that. Because we talked about it earlier. God is not the one that moves. He's constant, ever present. But if you're in a situation, if you're in a circumstance where you feel like He is as distant as ever, let me ask you, have you stopped? Waited patiently for the Lord that he might show up, that he might make his presence known to you and felt to you. And so Dylan and Jenny are going to come, and we're going to sing. And listen, let this song that we're going to sing Great Are You, Lord. We haven't sang it in a while, I don't think. But if you're sitting here this morning, you say, hey, I just need the presence of God. Don't stand. Don't sing. Let this song wash over you. And be still. And know that he's God. Maybe you need to testify. Maybe you need to stand and sing at the top of your lungs. That it's your breath in my lungs. And so I'll pour out my praise. Pour out my praise. But whatever posture you need to take this morning, maybe you need to take a posture of David's and just sit and wait patiently for the Lord. Or maybe you need to take a posture of joy and praise. But whatever you need to do with God this morning that you could feel his presence, I challenge you as we sing this, as they sing this, do so. God, I'm so thankful that you meet us right where we are, that you meet every need on your timetable. And God, I pray for us this morning that you would help us to wait, that you would help us to be patient for you, for you. God, we don't have every answer, even when we think we do. We don't have every solution. We don't have understanding of everything that you're trying to teach us or bring us through. God, I would hate to see the world where we got everything we wanted when we wanted it, how we wanted it. And so, God, I pray that you would give us the strength to stop, to remember that we're not the answer. We're not the solution to everyone's problem. We're not you. We're not Savior. God, you are. And so more of you, less of me. May that be our prayer today in Jesus' name.